Imagine handing over, like, 75,000 rupees just to learn how to talk to a chatbot.
I mean, it sounds completely absurd when you put it like that.
Right. But then you realize the real money isn't actually in that chat interface at all. It's all in the invisible plumbing underneath.
Yeah, the highly complex invisible plumbing.
Exactly. So today we are doing a deep dive into a comprehensive 2026 generative AI curriculum. We really want to find out what you're actually buying when you pay to, quote-unquote, learn AI.
Because right now, the pressure to upskill is just relentless for everyone.
Oh, totally. It's in our feeds. It's leaming over our performance reviews. I
Yeah.
feel like the grace period to just casually figure out this technology is completely evaporated.
It really has. And the market is so saturated with these quick fix AI courses, it makes it incredibly difficult to separate a genuine career investment from, well, a superficial cash grab.
Yeah, a cash grab.
Great. So if you are a career switcher or a recent grad, or honestly just trying to stay relevant at your current job, the sheer volume of conflicting advice is paralyzing.
It is.
Yes.
But let's unpack this. Our mission on this deep dive is to cut through that noise entirely.
Definitely.
We've got a fascinating source today. It's the detailed 2026 guide titled Generative AI Course Fees for Beginners. It was put together by an AI trainer named Dinesh Tungaturi from Generative AI Masters in Hyderabad.
Which is a huge global hub for tech talent.
Massive.
Yeah.
So the trends happening in their training institutes are like a highly accurate leading indicator of where the whole global industry is heading.
Yeah, it sets a great baseline. Just looking at the facts from that guide, a standard beginner generative AI course in Hyderabad currently sits somewhere between 35,000 and 40,000 rupees.
And those usually run for what, about 3 months?
Roughly 3 months, yeah. But that cost is merely the entry point of our discussion today. We aren't just looking at prices.
Right, because we want to know what's actually under the hood.
Exactly. We're going to dissect the underlying mechanisms of this curriculum, the strategic differences in how these classes are delivered, and later, a rather profound pivot into data engineering.
Yes, that pivot blew my mind.
Right. It completely reframes what a successful AI professional looks like in 2026.
So we have to look at how that price tag scales depending on the training mode, because the guide breaks this down into three very distinct tiers.
The online, hybrid, and offline tiers.
Yeah, you have your baseline online training sitting at 35,000 rupees. Then there is a hybrid model at 37,500. And finally, the offline classroom training, which demands the premium price point of 40,000.
Which is a pretty tight price spread, honestly.
It is. But looking at this structure, it immediately feels like signing up for a fitness journey to me.
Oh, like a gym membership.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So online training is essentially building a home gym. It's the cheapest option. It offers total flexibility. I mean, you can theoretically do it at 2 in the morning in your pajamas.
If you have the energy for it.
Right. But it requires an almost superhuman level of personal discipline because absolutely no one is watching to make sure you do the work.
Yeah, that's the catch.
The offline classroom, on the other hand, is like hiring a premium personal trainer. You pay top rupee to have someone look over your shoulder and like physically intervene the second your form starts to slip.
I like that analogy. But if we push it a bit further, bad form in a home gym means you pull a muscle.
Sure, yeah.
But bad form when building an AI architecture in isolation, that means you create a model that hallucinates, leaks proprietary data, and could potentially cost a business millions.
Oh, wow. Okay, so the stakes are way higher.
Much higher. The premium you pay for offline or hybrid models isn't just for an air-conditioned room. It actually operates as an insurance policy against bad architecture.
That makes a lot of sense.
Because when you're learning to code and build these complex systems, hitting a single obscure error can stall your progress for like 3 days if you are studying alone.
Oh, I've been there. It's so frustrating.
Right. So that slightly higher fee buys you the immediacy of a feedback loop. You get real-time doubt clarification during those complex capstone projects, which keeps your momentum alive.
Which brings up a crucial question for anyone listening. What exactly are you gaining momentum toward?
Exactly.
Because paying the fee and showing up is only the prerequisite. We have to look at what these institutes are actually putting in front of you.
The actual curriculum.
Yeah. And the landscape the guide maps out is wildly varied. Like on the budget-friendly, shorter-term end, you have places like Aushak IT offering beginner programs for 25,000 to 35,000 rupees that take a couple of months.
Right, the entry-level tier.
Then there are the mid-tier focused programs like Generative AI Masters themselves or Brawley Academy, hovering around that 40,000 mark.
Yep.
But then we hit the extreme high end. The School of Core AI is charging almost $65,000. And institutes like 360 Digit MG and XLR are stretching their fees all the way up to 75,000 rupees for programs lasting up to 6 months.
That's a serious financial commitment.
It is. So I have to play devil's advocate here for a second.
Go for it.
Are people really dropping 75 grand just to learn how to type better, more descriptive prompts into a chatbot? I mean, if I'm shelling out that kind of money, I expect a lot more than a glorified typing class.
Your skepticism is entirely warranted there, and it targets the biggest misconception surrounding generative AI upskilling right now.
Which is?
Well, the curriculum breakdown in the source is very clear that prompt engineering is nothing more than the thin, visible surface layer.
Okay.
I mean, they certainly cover consumer-facing tools like Gemini, Claude, and ChatGPT, but the core of the curricula, the actual justification for that $75,000 lawn price tag, is focused on building full-scale enterprise-grade applications.
Not just chatting, but building.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Building. The syllabus mandates learning ERAG, which stands for Retrieval Augmented Generation.
Okay, ERAG.
Yeah, alongside frameworks like LangChain and the development of autonomous AI agents.
Okay, wait. Those three terms, RAG, LangChain, and AI agents.
Yeah.
They really seem to be the dividing line between someone who just uses AI and someone who actually builds it.
100%.
But let's demystify what those actually do. Because the guide throws these terms around as selling points, but we really need to know the mechanics.
Sure, let's break it down.
If I have a beginner with zero coding background, which, by the way, the source notes is totally fine to start, how do I wrap my head around something like ERAG?
Okay, think of a standard large language model as a brilliant, highly educated student sitting down to take a closed book exam.
Okay, I'm with you. Closed book.
That student knows a lot of general knowledge up to a certain date, right? Mm. But if you ask them specific private details about your company's internal Q3 revenue reports, they are going to guess.
Because they haven't seen the actual report.
Exactly. Or worse, they will confidently invent an answer, which is what we call an AI hallucination.
Right. The classic AI lying to your face thing.
Yeah. ERAG changes that entirely. It turns it into an open book exam. When you learn to build an ERAG system, you are designing a mechanism that literally retrieves your private company PDFs, manuals, and databases. It reads them in real time and forces the AI to use only those specific facts to generate its answer.
Oh, wow. So you are essentially lobotomizing the AI's tendency to lie and anchoring it entirely to your proprietary truth.
That's a great way to put it, yeah.
And where does LangChain fit into that architecture?
So LangChain is the glue. It's a framework that allows you to chain together different tasks.
Like linking different steps together.
Exactly. Let's say you want an application that doesn't just answer a question, but it reads a client email, searches your internal database for the client's history, formulates a custom response using an AI model, and then connects to an email API to actually send the drafted message.
That's a whole workflow.
Right. LangChain is the orchestrator that connects the AI brain to the retrieval tools and the action tools, making them work in a seamless sequence.
Okay, that makes total sense. And then we have AI agents, which the guide emphasizes heavily.
Yes, agents are huge right now.
From what I understand, agents take that LangChain concept and add autonomy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of me prompting the AI every single step of the way, I just give the agent a high-level goal.
Like what?
Like, find the cheapest supplier for this specific microchip and draft a contract.
Yes.
And the agent breaks down the subtasks, searches the web, compares the prices, realizes it needs to open a new tab to find the supplier's contact info, and executes the entire workflow completely on its own.
Exactly. And this raises a super important question for anyone evaluating these courses. Are you learning to operate a tool? Or are you learning to build an autonomous workforce?
Wow, an autonomous workforce.
Yeah. The institutes charging those premium fees are teaching the latter. They are taking total beginners and teaching them the architectural logic required to transform a generic consumer AI into a customized, highly lucrative enterprise solution.
Okay, so here's where it gets really interesting, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because just as I was getting comfortable with this mental model of AI agents and ERAG architectures, I hit a section in the source material that felt entirely out of place.
The data engineering section.
Yes. Under the curriculum breakdown for Brawley Academy, the text suddenly abandons generative AI completely.
Yeah.
It just drops this extensive no-nonsense list of Azure data engineer skills required in 2026.
It is a bit of a curveball.
It really is. Suddenly, we aren't talking about language models anymore. We are looking at SQL, Apache Spark, ETL concepts, and data modeling.
The pivot in the text is jarring for sure, but it highlights a massive, often ignored reality of the current tech landscape.
Which is?
It's the realization that you simply cannot build a reliable AI without immaculate data.
Exactly. I was thinking about this. If building an enterprise AI system is like building a high-performance sports car, then the large language models, the LangChain, the autonomous agents that is the flashy, incredibly powerful engine.
Right.
But the data engineering, the SQL, the Apache Spark, the ETL pipelines, that is the fuel system.
Oh, that's a perfect analogy.
You can have the most expensive, highly tuned AI engine on the planet sitting right there in the garage. But if you don't have clean, organized, secure, high-octane data flowing into it constantly, that engine is completely useless. It's not going
anywhere. It's an expensive paperweight. What's fascinating here is how the guide explicitly unpacks the Azure tools required to build that fuel system.
Yeah, it gets super specific.
It really does, and it demands an understanding of the mechanics behind them. Take ETL, for instance, which stands for Extract, Transform, and Load.
Right.
In a real-world enterprise, customer data is usually a disaster.
Yeah.
I mean, it is scattered across different CRMs, legacy databases, and just random spreadsheets.
A total mess.
A huge mess. An ETL pipeline is the mechanism that extracts all that chaotic data, transforms it by cleaning out duplicates and formatting it into a standardized structure, and then loads it into a centralized warehouse that an AI can actually read.
And the source lists specific tools for this, right? Okay. It mentions Azure Data Factory for orchestrating that data movement and Databricks for handling the massive large-scale processing of it.
Yes, exactly.
But then it drops this massive warning sign about a, quote, big shift happening in 2026. What is that about?
So the shift the guide warns about is Microsoft Fabric.
Microsoft Fabric, okay.
Right. Historically, a data engineer had to manually stitch together Azure Data Factory, Synapse, and Dataprips. They were entirely separate products.
Which sounds tedious.
It was. But Microsoft Fabric is unifying all of these disparate data tools into a single, cohesive software-as-a-service platform.
Oh, wow.
The strategic direction of the entire industry is rushing toward this consolidated platform because it drastically reduces the friction of feeding data into AI models.
Okay, but wait. If Microsoft Fabric is the magic bullet that unifies everything, why does the guide explicitly state that students still need to learn the classic stack?
That's a great question.
Shouldn't a beginner in 2026 just learn Fabric and ignore the old fragmented tools?
You would think so, but enterprise tech moves like a cargo ship, not a speedboat.
Meaning they're slow to change.
Incredibly slow. While Fabric is undeniably the future, there are thousands of massive corporations still actively running their critical infrastructure on the classic stack.
Yeah.
They haven't migrated, and they probably won't migrate for years.
Oh, right. Because it's too risky or expensive for them to just switch overnight.
Exactly. So the source argues that to be genuinely hireable, you cannot just know the shiny new platform. You must be able to navigate the legacy systems currently paying the bills while also possessing the skills to eventually migrate them to Fabric.
Man, that detour completely recontextualizes the purpose of an AI course.
Doesn't it?
It really does. The most successful, highly sought after AI professionals in 2026 aren't just tweaking parameters on a language model. They are the ones who deeply understand the plumbing.
Yes.
They know how to build the data pipelines that keep the AI from starving, which I think forces us to look at the ultimate question for you, the listener, regarding the return on investment.
The ROI is key.
Right. Because if you're dropping 75,000 rupees on a six-month course, you have to know if it's a safe bet. The text lists several value adds to sweeten the deal, right? Like resume preparation, LinkedIn profile optimization, mock interviews, and lifetime access to the class recordings.
And those career support services are essential. They're the bridge between acquiring academic knowledge and actually monetizing it in a pretty brutal job market.
For sure.
Because a brilliant architecture is useless if you cannot pass the technical interview to get the job building it.
That's very true. But I do have to push back hard on this idea of lifetime access and safety.
Okay, why is that?
Because technology, especially in the Gen AI space, moves so fast it's practically violent. We see foundational models becoming obsolete in a matter of months. Entire startups get wiped out by a single OpenAI update.
Yeah, the landscape changes weekly.
Exactly. So by the time someone finishes a six-month offline course, won't the specific software interfaces and APIs they just spent 75 grand learning already be obsolete?
It's a valid fear.
Are we paying for a tech degree? Or are we paying for an insurance policy against becoming obsolete that just expires the moment we graduate?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture outlined in the source's ROI section, it becomes clear that you are not paying to learn the specific buttons on an interface. You are paying to learn the underlying physics of the technology. Yes, the specific name of the retrieval tool might change, or the API endpoints might update.
Sure.
But the core architectural mechanisms, how you force an AI to read private data without hallucinating, the logic of chaining autonomous tasks together, the absolute necessity of an ETL pipeline, those principles do not change overnight.
Okay, so it's the difference between learning how to drive a 2026 Honda Civic versus learning the actual physics of internal combustion and aerodynamics.
That is precisely it.
If you know the physics, you can drive whatever car they release in 2027.
Exactly. The text emphasizes that the adoption of these technologies is spreading far beyond just tech companies. Traditional IT services, manufacturing product organizations, non-tech startups, they are all desperately trying to implement AI, and they need people who understand the architecture.
That makes a lot of sense.
This training is explicitly preparing you for high-level evolving roles. You aren't aiming to be a junior prompter. You are aiming to become an AI engineer, an LLM engineer, or an AI consultant.
Right.
The guide frames the course fee not as a sunk cost for learning a temporary software, but as a foundational investment in your own long-term professional resilience.
So let's trace the journey we've taken today. We started by looking at the literal rupee costs of different classroom setups in Hyderabad, identifying that the premium for offline or hybrid classes isn't just for a desk.
No, it's an insurance policy.
Exactly, to ensure you don't build bad, hallucinating AI in a vacuum. We stripped away the misconception that these courses are just glorified typing classes, and we dove into the actual mechanisms of RAG, LangChain, and AI agents that turn passive models into active enterprise tools.
Right.
And then we hit that crucial hidden bottleneck, the realization that generative AI is utterly useless without the complex data engineering of ETL pipelines and Microsoft Fabric feeding it the truth.
It really serves as a comprehensive, highly realistic roadmap of what the modern enterprise actually demands from its talent right now.
It does. So what does this all mean for you? It means that surviving and thriving in 2026 requires a fundamental shift in your perspective.
Completely.
You have to stop viewing yourself as a passive consumer of AI, someone who simply marvels at a generated image or a well-written email, and start viewing yourself as an active architect and orchestrator of these systems.
And that architectural mindset leaves us with a final, highly provocative reality to consider.
Ooh, what's that?
Well, we've explored how these advanced courses are successfully teaching total beginners to build incredibly complex autonomous AI applications without needing to write a single line of traditional code.
Right, the tools are getting really good.
But if that is the reality, if the interface to build AI is becoming so accessible and user-friendly, will the dedicated role of the prompt engineer simply vanish entirely in the next few years?
Wow.
And if the front end becomes that simple, does that mean the true, undeniable, high-paying jobs of the future belong exclusively to the data engineers?
That is a wild thought.
In a world where the AI engine builds itself, perhaps the only people left with real power will be the ones who control the fuel. Something for you to ponder until next time.